from the real world into the spiritual world. If you have a dream and you go to a native shaman and explain that you have a dream, that you were on the land, you were running, you came to a river, you swam across the river into another land or another piece of dry ground, you have crossed from the real world to the spiritual world. The water signifies this crossover between one world to another world.
And this is similar to the Egyptians, who believed that you cross over the river Styx to reach...
That is the Greeks.
Oh, Greeks. Egyptians have something similar, though, because they have used the boats. And something, the Anubis, I think, is in charge of that.
Yes, for crossing the Great River.
Correct. So that's it follows in many different cultures, not just
the Indians. Native Americans.
Yeah, fascinating. Thank you, Amal.
You're welcome.
So when I have had quite a few dreams in my life, like in the last few years, where some reason or other I'm in water, but I realize I can breathe. So there is a connection
between
my dreams?
Yes, I would say that your dreams, when you're in the water, it is a very spiritual kind of dream. It is that you are in a spiritual consciousness.
I feel a very comfortable.
Well, it is a feeling of long ago. And it is also the fact that if you look at it from a spiritual point, you are spiritually conscious. You're not only immersed in the spirit world, but it is around you, within your lungs, within you, so that you are in tune and conscious. And the comfort feeling comes from the fact that it is very reminiscent of something that happened before you breathed there. So it is a nice, comforting feeling. Okay, last questions, please.
Well, actually, I don't have any more.
Bob?
Yeah, at this time.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, Bob.
And it has been a long time since I have had the pleasure to say to you, Bob, live long, prosper. I'll be back.
Itsy-bitsy spider, he's hanging up the spider.
Thank you.
Correct.
Oh, so you picked out some information up off the computer, I take it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when Mark's talking, she refers to him as kinsman.
Interesting.
Yeah, they've learned that there's a similarity between the Celtic nations and the Hopi nation.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. And some of their beliefs. Mark has made references to the Morgana, and that they wear red. And the Hopis have a belief that their true white brother will come wearing a red hat or a red cloak covering his or her head. Yes, I thought so too. I was listening when Mark had a revelation and almost jumped out of his chair. But you asked Mark about that. I don't know the full story.
Okay.
Any more questions before I put in the next passage?
Yeah, does Drunken have any stories or myths about water?
Some. We have a story of... it's the story of the land being dry and barren, and then water welling up, bringing life to the thirsty. And creatures of the water sprouting from the ground. It's a little bit long to tell. It takes about 2 hours to tell.
Okay. Well, maybe save it for another time.
Okay. Hello.
Hi, Cora. remember Bob, don't you?
Yes, vaguely. Vaguely. You were here with a young lady, couple of friends, dark hair. Yes. Very vague memories. She was your... No, she wasn't your lady friend, was she? That's okay. It is hard sometimes. We've had so many visitors that have come, and it's hard to place all of them. I do apologize.
It's been
a while. Yes, it has. It's been
3 years.
Has it been that long? Why?
Time flies.
It does. Anyway, down to business. He is fond of telling people to get down to business. Okay, what can I do to help this evening?
Well, let's see. We entered in on your section on photonic healing,
mm-hmm.
on using energy like that on the webpage. And your daughter is now pregnant.
Mm-hmm. Yes, well, mistakes happen.
And anything you could put out for the webpage would be very, of course.
I was expecting to answer questions.
You know, I had a lot of stuff worked up for Omal, but of course, feeling wise, I didn't have a whole lot going. Oh, Bob's got a question.
Ah. Speak.
I go to sleep at night, sometimes I like sleep on my side. I feel that arm starting to go to sleep.
It's possible that you might have separated it temporarily and pinched the neck. But only a portion of the neck. It's like having a piece of string and pinching down on it with your fingers. But only pinching down on the side. See, it has this useful piece of string or useful nerve. But yet it's still attached and pressured. And when you lay down on your side and apply pressure to that, it applies pressure to the nerve endings or the nerve. And your arm goes to sleep. Or has that feeling that it is heavy and useless and you can't manipulate it properly. It will cure itself in time, especially when you're working with your arm again, when it's fully recovered. Sometimes things take longer to recover as we progress further on. And it is something that takes time. What you might try is using a hot patch, or not a hot patch, a warm patch, on the damaged area, and that will loosen up the muscles and the muscle tissue enough that you might be able to flex your arm without hurting, and it may pop out.
Like a heating pad?
Yes, kind of. But you don't want a heating pad because that will get too hot, and the blood will flow away, and that will cause problems in itself. It will not make it as easy. But by applying warmth for a long period of time, it may make it, well, it will make the muscles relax and easier to manipulate. You may try massaging gently over that area with the tips of your fingers once you reach an appropriate peak where it feels comfortable.
What about something like Ben Gay, which is applies heat, but not, it's just like a warm heat to your muscles for a long period of time. Or methylated rubs, like that.
Oh, I do hate the smell of those rubs.
Yeah, I know.
Makes people smell like a pharmacy. Yes, that will work. The massaging process and massaging it in will have a little bit of benefit. But that's actually a psychosomatic way of healing it. You don't really heal it. What you're doing is you're taking away the pain by applying an irritation. so that you forget about the pain. The more concerned about the heat from the deep heat or the Bengays or the tiger tail or fight for.
So this is not a concern to go to a doctor or anything like this, kind of
rule? I will feel it, but if it gets worse and more common, then I would recommend going to one of your rare healers. They're pretty good at that sort of thing. I don't trust them when it comes to dealing with healing the mind, but they sometimes can cause more problems than they solve. For example, a lot of these repressed so-called memories of child abuse, they can turn an innocent event into something horrific. But that is doctors that manipulate the mind, psychologists.
I have a friend that's 2,000 miles away. Mm-hmm. He just found a spot to go on the long distance healing.
Yes, there is to a certain extent. It is more how well connected you are. But the energy flow from one person to another, it is the flow of energy. And as we've discussed in the past with rats, healing energy can have a lot of effect. And that can help.
What car is worth on me from 93 million miles away?
88 at the moment.
88 at the moment. So yeah, I'd say you're doing a lot better than we are.
That is great. That does work. I will vouch for the fact that it does work. It is a matter of connecting the flow of the energy in certain patterns and pulling it through the body in certain ways. So Mark's lessons, if he is whispering correctly, all those years ago, 3 years ago, helped them, I think, with the astral travel aspect.
That's hard to say,
because
I don't know, this is almost more like the mind level.
Mm-hmm. Well, you can use the telepathy wave as a carrier signal to actually travel, I believe. But you'd have to ask Tia. But Tia says that Mark has a how to actually travel on his computer.
Mm-hmm.
You should print that up and give a copy to Bob.
Okay.
Okay, I'm going to do part as the body temperature's at 98.7 at the moment. We'll put the next person on. We're watching the temperature. We're trying to figure out why it's rocketing.
No, it's not normal.
No, it's not. Oh well. Farewell.
Yeah.
Frank. He's roasting here.
Phew.
Quite hot. It's unusual for his body temperature to be so hot.
So what's this about using the telepathy wave as a carrier for your astral travel?
Well, you can project a telepathy... Frank!
Just knows when you get here.
You can project a telepathy signal. And you can kind of ride it to its source. And it's a little bit like having a rocket holding on to the spring as it goes. It's a little bit of a difficult procedure, actually. Okay, whilst we change over and put the last boisterous one on. Yo, dude, you got a beard. I know. Everybody's commented on that. Looks good, I think.
I didn't recognize
it. Okay, guys, what can I do for you?
Hey, Kiri. Just the usual. How are you doing, though?
I'm doing wonderful. Absolutely awesomely.
Any clues on why Mark's temperature's going up?
No. The baby's bad.
Yeah, it's not as warm as it was. But,
no.
I think it's just the channeling started going up since, he came on the first. And it's something to do with his astral body leaving, even only his physical body.
No, it's possible. Temperature is starting to go down, fortunately.
Oh, good, okay.
According to the computer down here, it's still running. It's at 97.9. Okay. Okay, what can I do for you guys?
Well, Bob is going to be leaving us to Colorado soon.
Oh, cool. Nice place out here. The skiing is supposed to be awesome. Champagne powder springs to mind. Nice flavor. Love skiing. Awesome spot. Got some great mountains on Sirius. You'd like if you like mountains. Really high peaks. Razorback edges. Well, we've got some nice plateaus that are good for that. Well, it's about 6.5, 7 light years to get there. Okay. Tell you what, let's pack up your car. We'll put everything in there and start the drive.
Don't need a car.
Don't need a car? Just a backpack, hitchhiking car. Huh? Out with the fun.
What is it, the sub-E3rd bomb?
Beats me, dude.
From the Hitchhiker's Guide.
Hmm.
So anyway, what's the word on the base, darling?
The word is coolness.
Is there another word? Ski race is coming up?
Yeah, unfortunately I'm not competing. But, as we have a guest, let us be sensible and serious.
How you doing?
Bob's Johnny. Okay.
Now, let's say, do the introduction for us and stop being such a bad host.
I just did.
Took your time, sure. Feeling, yeah?
Alright.
You can't do more than one thing at a time, of course. You're a man in a simple, primitive life form. Okay, let us continue. What are we going to discuss?
Open forum.
Open forum, okay. But I'll sit on the sidelines and wait for the debate to start.
Yeah,
Kiri, I'm an engineer and coercer. Yes, it was Tia.
Well, she's back on.
And she'll be back.
She's in and out, up and down, up and down, and she should have thought of that before she started the channeling session.
So anyway, question on accommodations for the skiers coming up.
Mm-hmm.
They're all staying on their ships, I think, and commuting back and forth.
Yes, well, the guests are the competitors. We constructed a temporary area for them down at Lake Dolphin so that they can hike up the back of the mountain to the snow and everything.
Isn't this rather advantageous to the Hades-based skiers?
No, not really.
Why? Because all these, visiting top competitors are now hiking up a mountain.
Figure of speech. Actually, they'd be running on trolleys. In all seriousness. You've got accommodation from down at Lake Dolphin. They have the option to hike if they so wish. But we are running trolleys for the escalators, then from the escalators to, not escalators, elevators. From there, we have another trolley at the top of the departure place, all the way over to the entrance to the racetracks.
Oh, okay, good.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, nice. How many competitors are there from each base?
There's 40 from each base.
How many bases?
That's going to be a total of 3 bases, including us.
So we've got 120 competitors?
Uh-huh.
Is that correct?
That's correct.
Plus the 40 of the champions, did I get that right? Of anybody who can sign up for that?
Anybody that's present. So that's the competitors themselves can sign up for it. I'm signed up.
You're signed up?
Yeah.
Excellent.
Mm-hmm. That's the only race I'm competing in this year.
Well, you did miss your own best time last time.
Mm-hmm. No, only best qualifying time for the team. That's not including, that does not include the race time last year.
What happened? Did you miss an edge or something?
No. I was just a little bit slower. Yeah, just an off day. I thought I was doing pretty good, actually, myself.
Yeah, that happened. I can relate. Mm-hmm. You know, with skiing.
You got down, saw your time, and said, dang.
Pretty close. Pretty close.
Well, that's good. So who's doing all the hosting of parties and everything?
Well, the corner bar is hosting all the parties.
For 120 people?
Mm-hmm.
Plus guests?
Plus guests. We have a area set up at the bottom of the hill for them. We're closing down the bar.
Oh, you are?
For that week.
Oh, so there's going to, if there's going to be a new corner bar, let's say.
Basically, yeah.
Rather large.
Mm-hmm. It's about 20 times larger than it was.
Oh,
it has a dance floor. It has a restaurant that's going to be open 24 hours. The bar will be open from local time of 12 high noon to 2 in the evening. Dance bar. We've also got a stage for the bands and a dance area for that will also be used for the banquets and everything.
So it's going to be quite an enjoyable race, isn't it?
Yeah, well, we have the racers compound, and we also have the competitors compound. The racers and the competitors. The competitors is competitors only. No coaches, team captains. If they're competing in the downhill, it's only downhill races that are in there.
Well, I'll keep it from being too crowded.
Mm-hmm.
And so these are all being broadcast to each of the 2 bases,
mm-hmm.
Sirius and Centauri bases.
Mm-hmm.
So it's sort of like our TV without the interviews, or are they going to be like commentators, or how's that work?
No, ridiculous. There will be commentators, and there will be, a tour of what's going on. Yeah, you'll have the option to watch the fans playing, or you can hear the band playing with somebody skiing down. Yeah, it's all set up, individual preference.
Oh, really? All in 3-dimensional holograms?
Yeah. Pretty cool, huh?
I think it'd be a lovely. I wish we could get it broadcast down here on the TV here.
Mm-hmm. It'd be awesome.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, it would be.
Blow away Wide World of Sports.
Huh?
That's our version of, that's our sports thing.
Ah, okay.
World of Sports.
How much time on the recording will that
get? Too much, probably. About
35
minutes.
Okay. Well, I'm going to put on Tia Backer, which says that she has to talk.
Okay.
Hi, Tia. Hey, Tia. I'm back. Hey, how's it going, dude?
Good. How you doing?
I'm doing fine, I think. Okay, you had a question for us.
Yeah, let's talk about the stock market.
Uh-huh.
That's one of your favorite subjects.
Mm-hmm.
And it is over the 2,000 mark.
Been over the 2,000 mark for a long time. 7,000 is what you mean.
But, 7,000 mark. Excuse me. What do you think about that? So what's your thoughts on the stock market?
Well, it seems to be accelerating rather rapidly in its bullishness, which I see as a danger. I mean, you've got people pouring money in, and it's mushrooming. And if it mushrooms, I mean, how much bigger can it grow? 8,000? 9,000?
Well,
10,000?
Can it grow that far? I don't see it. I can't see that.
I don't know. But what happens when the people take their money out of the market? That's the thing that I'm interested in.
Okay. So, we're in the bull market. We're over 7,000.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have any insight besides it, you know,
well, at the moment,
possibly escalating at too rapid of a rate, or?
Oh, it's definitely too rapid a rate, in my opinion. But I'm going to wait until Greenspan makes his State of the Economy address and see what happens. That's what I'm waiting for, and I believe that's going to be on Thursday. We'll see what happens then. There is the possibility that, here's my prediction, he's going to talk about how great the stock market's doing, how well the investors are doing, the economy is growing, inflation is down, unemployment is down, and maybe it's time to put the brakes on the bull market and turn it into a bear market temporarily, just to slow it down a bit. That I could see as a danger. But that's my prediction, that he's going to say the economy is growing great, it's growing at about 5.5%.
Okay, so it's going, the transition from us going from a bull market into a bear market right now, you feel is quite a dangerous situation?
Whichever way it goes, it's a dangerous situation. If the growth slows down to an acceptable level where it climbs one week and then drops back down and may end up from the previous week losing 10 points, and then the following week it climbs 10 points on the previous week, so it basically stays in the same sort of area. But these wild roller coaster rides of losing 84 points, picking up 101 points, strikes me as very dangerous and unstable.
Well, it strikes me as being very dangerous and unstable, too. That's why I'm inquiring with you, because you seem to be the expert up there on the...
Well, I'm no expert. There are people that understand it much better than I do, but...
Yeah, but I mean, you do understand the situation. And you do understand it. My concern that it's a very dangerous situation right now.
Yes.
Where we're at.
Well, I wouldn't say very dangerous, but it is dangerous. It depends on if you are invested in the stock market and how dangerous it is.
No, I don't have any investments in the stock market. But
no, I mean you as a generalist. And how is she?
Excellent. Really well.
Okay. Let's move on to Bob. Do you have a question? Okay, it takes about to run out as well.
Okay, looks like I'll be teaching a past life regressions tomorrow.
Okay.
With Sarah.
Okay, and as it takes about to run out, I shall say adieu.
Good night to you.
Bye.
Have a lovely night.
Good night.
Bye. See you all later. And have a great trip. And what was the mole talking about?
Where?
Feet and picking up sticks. Oh, well. Crap.
Bye, love.
Well, I'm looking forward to this year's flower season. Ooh, I've already traded about 8 cases of wine, so...
You think good?
Yeah. If it's a good year, I should be able to get 30 bunches. So, 8 cases of the same thing. And we'll probably have to pay another 92 cases. Which I can probably turn around, and I'm paying wholesale. And what I'll probably do is sell 15 for maybe about 150 cases of wine. Or each flower will go for a bolt of material.
Doesn't this wine be traded all over the place? You pick up a bit?
No. You should get next cases to it.
No.
Yeah.
We're used to the situation. Is that something that, you know, you guys have it down to a cat science?
No, I don't wish it was.
We're talking about, we haven't talked about this before, except for the fact that the use of it, you know, the guy with the water can, the fact you can put the base in that area.
Yeah, you could probably put the base in the water. Those have special power supplies that keep the effect the same. And then when you finish with it, you have to go and plug it in, and you know, it's approximately maybe a half an hour to an hour's use. I mean, the other day, Mark told me that he walked his the whole entire greenhouse, a huge potted plant, outside, all with his tiny little water pump, and he was back it for, I think, close to half an hour, and all of a sudden, and it was empty. Okay, quick joke. Okay, Arnold Palmer dies, right? Goes up to heaven. He's asked to play on a threesome, right? And he tees off with the threesome, and his drive goes 305 yards, right? And the next person tees off, and he tees off, and his ball goes about 310 yards. And then the third guy tees off with his wings and everything, and he goes, and he does about 300-yard drive, and they turn around and Arnold Palmer's talking to the two guys, and goes, well, I'm Arnold Palmer, and one goes, yes, I know, I'm Jesus, and this is the angel Gabriel. And they watch the four players tee off, and the ball goes straight over the green, lands in their track, and they carry on playing, and this keeps on happening for about the first nine holes. And then finally, Arnold Palmer turns around to Jesus and says, who does this guy think he is? God? And Jesus goes, no, that is God. He thinks he's Jack in the cloud. Okay. I thought you might like that to Michael. Michael might like that. Okay, here's another one for you. Arnold Palmer, he's out at a golf club, and he's playing with three guys, and he says, excuse me, I'm going to go to the bathroom. He comes back out, right, and his right leg's wet all the way down to his ear, right? And they kind of ignore the fact. They go through all 18 holes, they get to the clubhouse, right, and by this point they're pretty good friends. They're sitting at the bar having a few drinks, and then Arnold Palmer says, excuse me, I have to go to the bathroom. And off he goes. And then he comes back out, and his left leg is wet all the way down. And at this point, one of the guys goes, look, I couldn't help notice it, but earlier on, your right leg was wet all the way down through there, and now it's your left leg. And Arnold Palmer goes, well, it's a little embarrassing, but what happens is I'm in the stall, right, and then I'm standing there, and this guy goes, oh, you're Arnold Palmer.
Oh,
I don't understand these dogs and jokes. Just the fact that I heard Martin told them.
How many golfers places up there are there?
No.
Never caught on?
No. What's the point of chasing a little white ball when you have... Never mind. If I wanted to chase a little white ball around, I'd chase a rabbit's tail. But anyway, as I was saying, you've got the editorial that's not the editorial, the few of things.